Let's pray. Father God, we worship Your holy, holy name. We come before You this morning in complete need of You and Your grace and Your mercy and Your power at work within us, O God. We come before You this morning, O Lord God, in need to hear from You and have You be at work through Your Spirit within us right now and in this time, O Lord. We come to You in faith, Father, trusting in Jesus. I pray this morning, O Lord God, that as we open Your Word now, that every single one of us here this morning would bow before Jesus in faith, O God. I pray that You would, through Your Word this morning, strengthen and encourage the saints, O Lord God, those who believe in You. And I pray, O Lord God, that You would use Your Word this morning to open the eyes and ears of those who do not believe here this morning, O Lord God. That Jesus would receive all glory and honor and praise that is due to His holy, holy name. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. This begins a new section in the book of Matthew. I'll explain a little bit as we get into verse 1 as to how that looks and why that is a new section. But if you remember in the very beginning of Matthew, we said there are really five major teaching sections throughout the book of Matthew, times when Jesus sits down or stands or gathers different groups of individuals and has an extended discourse, an extended time of teaching to them. And then it's followed by Him moving about and some miracles and different things that He's ministering to the people. We saw with the end of chapter 10, really the close of one of His teaching sections. And now we begin a new section. And these sections really is kind of from chapter 11 through 13. Forms a section here. What we'll see primarily in chapters 11 and 12 is growing opposition to Jesus. We haven't seen a whole lot of that yet as He's gone about. Now we're going to really see that folks are beginning to question Him, folks are beginning to hate Him, to oppose Him, to not understand what He is saying, because their expectations of what the Messiah would be like, their expectations of what the kingdom of God would be like, they felt were not being met in Jesus. And so there's confusion, there's doubt that Jesus is the Messiah, and even outright opposition. And it's particularly in chapters 11 and 12, sort of floating in the background of these chapters is this idea, maybe the kingdom of God is going to fail. The opposition is so strong, the confusion gets so great, that it really does look like there's no way the kingdom of God can stand, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth and affect the lives of people around the world. And we'll see when we get to it, at chapter 13, it's sort of an answer to that unspoken question, is the kingdom of God going to fail? And chapter 13 comes in with a resounding no. It will not. It is not as you expect, but it will never fail. Jesus is the Messiah. He is God. He is the King of Kings, and He is establishing His kingdom, and the gates of hell will never destroy it. Nothing can stop God. Well, this morning we're going to begin to look into chapter 11. And as we look through chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 this morning, we're going to see, I know this may not be kind of what you expect at first. I'll talk about that. Some of you, this passage is familiar to us. We're going to see that even John the Baptist was confused and went through at least a time period of doubt and questioning of who is Jesus and what is he doing? So would you turn with me, please, if you haven't already, to Matthew chapter 11. This morning we will look at verses 1 through 6. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." This is God's word. The question that is being raised here, this time by John the Baptist, is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Is he the Savior? Is he the one whom God has promised to send to save and rescue his people or not? Well, verse 1 begins, and it's a transition to a new section of the book of Matthew. I mentioned how chapter 10 closed one section, chapter 11 opens up one. And in Matthew, he uses this formula to kind of introduce a new section and kind of have these transitions here. So you see right in verse 1 there, after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples. And as an example, if we go back and look at chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, when Jesus had finished saying these things, and so he's using similar phrases here, and it's actually exact words in Greek, to kind of say, okay, so he just finished speaking, now we're moving on to something different. He finished speaking and teaching, now he moved on to something different here. So it's part of the transition here, and it will happen again as he transitions throughout the other sections of the book of Matthew. Again, really five teaching sections here. So it's just a little bit of an indicator that section is closing. Now we're moving on to something. We're transitioning here to a new section. And in verses 2 and 3, we see that John has a question to ask Jesus. Now this is John the Baptist, okay? And right now, according to verse 2, John is in prison. We also know from the Jewish historian of this time, Josephus. He also writes that Herod arrested John and had him actually put away in a kind of a fortress place. I forget the name, it begins with an M. Where they put him away in a fortress over by the Dead Sea. And that's where he was kept in prison there for at least a year before he was finally executed. And so it appears that during that time period when this passage occurs. Okay? Now John, as he is in prison, it says in verse 2 that he hears what Christ was doing. It's a very interesting statement there. Okay? First of all, Matthew calls out and uses the word Christ for Jesus. Okay? It's the kind of Greek expression of Messiah. All right? And actually, in the 2011 version of the NIV, for those of you who had it, I realize as we move along, we're getting more and more divergent translations here. But it actually says Messiah, if you have the older version, it says Christ here, okay? And it's not a title that Matthew uses very often to speak of Jesus. The place where he most uses it is in Matthew chapter 1, when he introduces the book. And his whole introduction there is pointing to Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one whom God would send to save his people. That's who he is. In chapter 1, he goes through the kind of all his proof of that in the Old Testament, through the genealogies, following God's promises, and all of that, as we looked at quite a while ago now. And so I believe what is going on here is that as we're entering this passage and this section where now even John the Baptist is doubting and questioning, and we're going to go through this section where there's going to be opposition to Jesus, that Matthew was reminding us, let's remember who it is that John is questioning, that John is doubting, that the people and the Pharisees will oppose. It's Christ. So this is Matthew writing later, believing in Jesus that he is the Christ, reminding us, the reader, this is who we're talking about here. It's not just some prophet, it's not just some teacher, it's not some political activist, that Jesus is the Christ. Secondly, it says that John hears what Christ is doing. It really means, really says the works of Christ. Okay? And then, again, if you have either the ESV or the 2011 NIV, we're going to fix this. We're going to go to the ESV, all of us. We'll do that someday, so we all have the same, just less confusion. It actually says the deeds of Christ. It's a good translation there. Okay, and it's referring to, John is hearing all the things that Jesus is doing. And that includes his teaching. And that includes the miracles that he's performing. And it quite probably, I suspect, based upon Matthew writing this right after he's written chapter 10, probably also means that John has heard that Jesus is now expanding his mission, sending out the 12, sending out his disciples into the world, not in place of Jesus going out, but as an extension of the mission of Jesus. And that, we looked at chapter 10, reminder, that mission extends all the way through to us today. We are sent by Jesus in the world to proclaim who Jesus is and the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. So John hears what's going on. He hears the teaching, and something in that confuses John. Something in that makes him think, wait a minute, maybe Jesus isn't the Messiah. Now let me just first kind of get out of the way one possible understanding of this passage. You may have heard before, I have too. Some think that there's no way that John, I mean, this is John the Baptist we're talking about here. In fact, just after this, past 9, verse 7, Jesus is going to hold John up as the greatest among all who were born. Right? So how could it be that John the Baptist is doubting and is questioning Jesus? So some have thought, wondered, taught, that maybe what's really going on here is that John the Baptist in prison is not doubting Jesus, but his disciples might be. So John sends his disciples to Jesus to go ask Jesus as a way of helping their faith. Okay, that might be. I would just say, if that is what is occurring here, there's nothing in the text to indicate that. Doesn't mean it's not what's going on, but everything in the text here kind of points to that it is John who is doubting. There's no evidence that he really is believing here, okay? Not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. And I'm not putting John down at all or anything. I just think he is truly kind of wondering, what's going on here, Jesus? And here's partly why I think he's wondering what's going on. What did John the Baptist preach? What did he proclaim as he was sent by God? What did he faithfully preach and proclaim? Well, let's remind ourselves that in Matthew chapter 3, it's recorded what John the Baptist preached. I'll just give a couple of the verses here. In John chapter 3, in verse 2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Then, in verse 7, He says, but when he, John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And then verses 11 and 12, John the Baptist proclaimed, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry, referring to the Messiah. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning the chaff up with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist's preaching was significantly, and it was faithful, it's what God had called him to, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And when the kingdom of heaven comes, he's a good Old Testament scholar, John the Baptist is. When the kingdom of God comes, God's people will be rescued, and the immoral, the ungodly will be judged, will be destroyed. God's wrath will be poured out on the ungodly. That's his message. Okay? And now he, unjustly, by an immoral King Herod, is arrested and is imprisoned. And he hears and he knows Jesus has come, his cousin, he baptized him, and he's excited that the kingdom of God is going to come now. As he can imagine, this is not in the text, so I'm just speculating. Careful. Very, very careful. But as he's sitting in prison, what could he have been wondering, waiting and hoping for? Is it today, God? Is it today when you're going to bring forth your kingdom and judge these wicked, ungodly people? And he hears about what Jesus is doing. And what is he doing? He's preaching the kingdom of God is near. And then he's describing all the blessings of the kingdom. And there's no judgment. Jesus hasn't judged the world yet. In Jesus' preaching and his miracles, remember how we talked about all the miracles? They weren't just random miracles. The miracles are very specific in what he's doing. He is describing, he's showing forth the character, the nature of the kingdom of God, where there is no demonic presence, where there is no disease, where there is no death, where those who are sinful and blind and walking in blindness, that they have light dawn upon them because Jesus is the light of the world. He's describing and demonstrating in his preaching and his miracles the blessings of the kingdom of God. And he hasn't yet judged the ungodly. And this is total speculation. But I wonder if John's sitting there, if he's like, why isn't there judgment? How can you be the Messiah if there's no judgment? And it's a good question. I really think it's a good question. John's a good Old Testament scholar, I think. He knew his Bible. And when you read the Old Testament, these two things come together. God rescuing his people and judging the ungodly. Those come together. And part of the mystery of God that has been revealed in Christ is that this is not a one event. That the kingdom of God doesn't get established instantaneously. But with the coming of Christ, the kingdom of God is begun. Inaugurated, right? It's begun. And it is not complete until his second coming. And in his second coming, when he takes all of his own to be with him, then final judgment does come. And in the interim, we experience, all people experience, both a foretaste of the blessing of the kingdom of God for those who are in Christ, and a foretaste of the judgment of God also. So I think possibly that is part of what is causing John's question here. And what he asks is, this is in verse 3, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Or in other words, are you the coming one? That's a phrase describing the Messiah. I read in the call to worship this morning from Psalm 118, and specifically in verse 26, where it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The coming one. It's not just referring to anyone there. There's an allusion there, I think. Possibly a subtle one there. To the coming of the Messiah. That he is the one who will come. That God promises. The coming one is almost a title for the Messiah. Though not, you know, not a big capital coming, capital one, possibly. Maybe a subtle one there. Are you the one who was to come? Or should we look for someone else? Because this is not what the kingdom of God I expected. This is not what I expected it to look like. Well, Jesus then, in verses 4 and 5, he also happens to be a pretty good Old Testament scholar. He wrote it. Jesus points to Old Testament prophecy to answer John's question, "Are you the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent of God to save God's people?" And he calls out a few different things here in verses 4 and in verse 5 in answer to John. What he says is, tell John this. Tell John what's going on. Tell John what you see and hear. Testify to what is occurring. And this is what's occurring. The blind receive sight. Lame walk. Leprosy is cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And good news, the gospel, is proclaimed to the poor. Go tell John that. And at first, we could read that and go, you did it again. You didn't really answer the question, did you? You know, you asked a very specific question. You know, it could have been a yes or no. Are you the Messiah? Yes or no. And Jesus goes off and rambles a bunch of stuff. What is he talking about here? Is he really answering the question? Yes. I know, we know he does, of course. And he does it by bringing back prophecies from Isaiah of the Messiah and the coming of Yahweh. Actually, one of the verses here that we'll look at from Isaiah, it's actually talking about Yahweh will come, and now Jesus says, and describes what it looks like, and Jesus uses those descriptions saying, I'm doing them, leaving implication there saying, I am God. So Jesus is quoting referencing, alluding to, drawing from four passages in Isaiah, and I will just read them quickly here. Isaiah chapter 34, this is where most of the references Jesus makes come from here. Isaiah 34 verses 4 through 6. I'm sorry, 35. 35, 4 through 6. Talked about that God will judge the nations, judge the wicked. And now he's talking about for his people, blessing will come, and here's what it will look like. Say to those with fearful hearts. So this is his people who are being oppressed by the wicked and the ungodly and being destroyed. And God says to those who are fearful of heart, say this to them, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. The coming one. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. See, John the Baptist read that and said, okay, he's going to come. He's going to come with vengeance, judgment, right? With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Now, verse 5. Then, so let's pause. So what does that then mean? It means when God comes to save his people and bring judgment on the ungodly. When that happens, here's what's going to accompany it. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's a sign that it is occurring, that God is coming. or God has come. Verse 5, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Those are the things Jesus said, go tell John, these things are occurring. Go tell John that through me, these things are happening. Remind John, tell John to go read Isaiah 35. When these things happen, it is God saying, I have come. I have come. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Such a great chapter. It describes God's blessing on His people, coming to save His people, talking about the year of the Lord and God's favor on His people. But verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Remember one of the phrases, one of the titles of Jesus? The Anointed One. He has anointed me to do what? To preach good news to the poor. Tell John that's happening right now. The good news is being preached to the poor. And it's not just anyone who can preach that to the poor. It's a sign that the Messiah is here. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Oh, and I didn't even check this. Hang on. Matthew chapter 11. Verses 4, 11, 4, and 5. Yes! All right. Open your Bibles. Look in your Bibles. All right. I don't know if it's in the Pew Bible or not, but if you have any kind of reference Bible or any kind of... study Bibles are great. Okay? And go to them after you've read a non-study Bible. Okay? Study first, and then go. The bottom half of the page in study Bibles, it doesn't have the answers. The top half has the answers, okay? Study Bibles are great. It's wonderful, right? But we often look at them for the answers. All right, but if in your Bible, if you have any kind of reference, sometimes you'll have references like on the bottom, but a lot of times in mine, I kind of have them in the middle column. Right? You know the parts that you kind of like ignore? You know sometimes when you're reading in the text here, and there's these little letters, superscript letters, and you're like, oh man, it looks so, what is going on here? I gotta look at the verse number and these letters, and then there's different letters that go to the bottom and the top, and all these weird things, right? Well, in here, see, I should back up and explain myself. I'm anticipating the question, Pastor Scott, wow, you're so smart. How did you know that these passages from Isaiah come? I'm not that smart. I don't know. Roger probably knows that because he's got most of this book memorized, but I don't, okay? But and so what you can do is if you, I'll show you what mine has here. In the middle column here, it has verse by verse. So here's 11, chapter 11, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and then down here in verse 6, it's got some references, verse 5, it's got references. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Isaiah 61, verse 1. You can look there, and it will tell you that there's some connection between these passages. And you can go back and then read them. And you go, oh, wow, this is what Jesus is talking about. Okay? That's a wonderful, wonderful guide that's right there in your Bibles. Don't miss those. Don't miss them. Jesus speaks, He exudes the Old Testament because He wrote it. All right. Sorry. Where was I? Isaiah 26, 19. Isaiah 20. Oh, now I bent my Bible. Isaiah 26, 19. But your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust will wake and shout for joy. Jesus said, tell John the dead are living. The dead are coming back to life. And finally, Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19. In that day, brothers and sisters, that's almost a formula in the Scriptures. In that day, in those days, the days are evil, or in those days, the day of the Lord, okay, all this referring to a day, right? This is language for the coming of the Messiah, all right? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Jesus is answering John's question. John says, are you the Messiah? Because it doesn't look like what I expect it to look like. Really, Jesus, I expected you to announce the blessings of the kingdom of God for God's people, but to then execute judgment, God's vengeance, on the ungodly. And I don't see the vengeance. Are you really the Messiah? And Jesus says, all of my teaching and of my miracles declare yes, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the one promised come to save His people, the ones He will call to Himself from our sins. And judgment, final judgment, will come. But it wasn't what John thought it was going to look like in the timing. So what are we to do? Jesus in verse 6 says, we are to believe. Jesus calls us to believe. Chapter 6, in verse 6. Blessed, remember the Beatitudes, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Not what you thought this was going to look like. Not the way you expected things to go. Not the way you would have done things. God, I thought when I came to you and became a Christian that you would save my marriage. I thought that when I became a Christian, my children would be Christians. I thought that when I came to you, I would pray and you'd heal my cancer. I thought that when I came to you, things would be easy and everything would go my way. God, this is not what I expected. This is not the way I imagined things to be. This is not the way it should be, right, God? I don't know. Maybe Jesus isn't real. Maybe I shouldn't believe in Him. Maybe I shouldn't trust in Him. Jesus says, I am the Messiah. And if it's not the way you expected, I know. Hold on. Don't fall away. Don't stumble. Don't turn back. Believe in me. I am the Messiah. And I am working all things together for your good, for the good of those who love me and are called by my name. Believe in Jesus. He is the Christ. He is God. He is good. He is working in you and for you now, for all who believe and trust in Him. And if it's not the way you expected, well, first, we're in good company. John the Baptist didn't expect it the way that it is happening. And second, Jesus calls us to still believe in Him. Because, in the end, brother and sister, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the day will come when you will sit in heaven with Jesus and He will show you and you will look back and say, this was all light and momentary troubles, to quote Paul from 2 Corinthians 4. These were all light and momentary troubles we have here on earth when compared to the glory that they achieved for us in heaven. And it will all make sense. And whatever it is, we will look back and we will praise God and thank God for the way He did it. And we'll say, Lord, Your way is best, and thank You for it. Between now and then, let us believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Not just that He existed, not just that He walked the earth. Do you trust Him that He is God? Do you trust Him that He is the one who died in your place to pay for your sins? Believe in Jesus. He is the Messiah. Isaiah is writing and preaching in the year 800 BC, 700 BC, around there. 700 BC. Sorry, I forgot the date. Right? That's 700-800 years before Jesus walked on the earth. He foretold what was going to happen. And now Jesus isn't just, you know, like some psychic hotline going, oh, let me use some of these things and prophecies and twist them a little bit. He raised the dead! The blind see! People who couldn't walk, walk now. Not like some show on TV where they put someone in a wheelchair and then have them stand up. Really lame, really walk. Jesus is the Messiah. Believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear Jesus is the Messiah. And we would believe, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.